My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one of the most famous Eucharistic miracles in the history of the world occurred in the 18th century when a priest was doubting the real presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist. And this priest was celebrating Mass, and during consecration, the bread began to turn into flesh and the wine into blood. In his writings on the Eucharist, Father Spencer said that Eucharistic miracle occurs every day at every Holy Mass across the world. And sometimes we don't even notice that. He also says that at Mass, the substance of bread and wine is transformed into the substance of the body and blood of Christ. The term Eucharistic miracle can also refer to extraordinary empirical signs of Jesus' presence in the Eucharist, such as the bleeding bread or host, or the mutation, transmutation of a consecrated host into a piece of cardiac muscle tissue. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when we do not experience hunger and we don't have appetite for food and we don't eat for some days, the body will become weak. Because the body draws energy from the food we eat. Therefore, appetite, hunger are necessary, and the food and is also necessary for human growth. In the first reading of today, God infused hunger and appetite into Israelites, into the people of Israel, when they were on their way to the promised land. They felt hunger. They had great appetite for food. They requested food from God. Therefore, God gave them manna from heaven. That manna was a kind of foreknowledge, a foretaste of the Holy Eucharist. But that manna could only satisfy their physical hunger, but not their spiritual hunger. And those who ate that manna eventually experienced death in their lives. Therefore, the people of Israel needed a superior food to manna. They needed a more quality food than manna. And that food is what Jesus promises in the gospel of today. Jesus says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." In ancient Europe, a bird called pelican was believed to have the capacity to open his body, cut his body with his beak, and feed the young ones, his young ones, with his blood when there was no food. Before Christ could be alive, Christ had to die for us. At Holy Mass, consecration precedes communion. And Christ says in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15, verse 13, greater love than this no one has, that one lay down his life for his friends. During the Last Supper, Jesus instituted the Holy Eucharist and commanded his disciples to continue to celebrate this Eucharist as a memorial, as his own memorial. The Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life. And all those who received Christ in the Holy Communion are one with him. This is the message of the second reading of today. Because all of us are one in Christ. An ENT specialist doctor was examining a young man, and in jest, he said to him, I'm going to give you a small test. If I take off one of your ears, what will happen? The young man says, I wouldn't hear half as well. And the doctor says, okay, beautiful. Suppose I took off both ears, what will happen? The young man says, I wouldn't be able to see. So the doctor says, what do you mean? The young man says, I wouldn't have anything to hold my glasses up with. So, all of us who receive Holy Communion are one in Christ. The second reading says, because the loaf of bread is one, we, though many, are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. As the organs in the body coordinate with one another, function together to make the whole body function well. Likewise, we as Christians, belonging to one flock, belonging to Christ, we have to love one another, coordinate with one another, help one another in order to function well as a body. The question now is, do you receive Christ in the Holy Communion? If you don't, why? What prevents you? Few years back, when I was in Nigeria, after morning mass one morning, a man came to me and told me that he had a dream at night. And in that dream, the undertakers were doing their job. And in that dream, he saw the undertakers lowering the casket containing his body into the grave. As the undertakers were about to close the grave, the man woke up in the middle of the night and couldn't sleep again because he was terrified. So he said to me that that dream was a bad omen. Then I asked him, I inquired from him, when last he attended the Holy Mass. He said, about 30 years ago. But he was there for Mass that morning because of the dream he had. Then I told him that that dream was not a bad omen. It was a good one, because that was the way God wanted him to reflect on his life and come back to him, and repent and come back to him. So it was a good dream. But he thought the dream was a bad one. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there are people who are Catholics, baptized in the Catholic Church, receive First Holy Communion, whether in the church, receive the sacrament of confirmation, whether in the church, but they no longer attend Holy Mass. They no longer receive Holy Communion. Then, it is our function as Christians, because these brothers and sisters of ours, they belong to this flock. We must convince them. It's our duty to convince them to come back to the flock. It is our duty. This is not the duty of any other, but ours.